The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide opened, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
This time we're going to have Brother Barry Williams come, and he's going to share with us the Word of God this morning. Would you come, please?
Well, music today might make a Baptist say amen, huh? Wow. Great to be back today. I want us to turn to Psalms chapter 25. Psalms chapter 25, and we'll read verse 12 this morning. Before I begin today, this church always has a special place in our heart. And it's great to have known your pastor now for 20 years and to see your children grow up and see that they have children. What's that all about? I have no idea. And again, it's great to see them and see them grow into things of God. When I go to God concerning a church that I'm going to speak at, I ask God, give me a special message for the people that I am going to be ministering to. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm going to bring you a message in a way that I do not normally speak. I'm going to give you a message today concerning decision making. Through the years, I've had people ask me all the time, they ask me again a lot of the time, really, how did you decide to go to the mission field? And I'm going to share some things with you today concerning decision-making that missionaries have to go through. Because not only do you have to decide, is God leading me to a country, you have to decide, again, once you get there, where are you going to start your work? You have to make decisions about where you're going to live. You're going to have to make decisions about which car do you need to purchase and what furniture to buy. Because basically, a lot of times, you're just starting over. Today, what I see with God's people, those that are even saved and born again, make wretched, horrible decisions. They get themselves in debt financially and they can't get out of it. They make poor decisions morally, and you pay for these mistakes that you make. And so I'm going to share with you today, I'm not a three-point guy or anything like that, but I'm going to do that today, so this is a little bit out of my norm, about making proper decisions that God would have you make. I want us to take a look at verse 12 today. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Now I want you to see the promise here. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Making decisions. Pray. Father, again, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Father, we do pray for the most important decision that a man or woman can make, their salvation. And Father, we do pray today, if there's any here lost without Jesus, Father, we just ask that they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. And Father, we just do ask, God, you work in the hearts of believers today. And Father, we just do pray again, God, you help us to make wise decisions. Father, decisions or choices, Father, that we make, God, may they come from your hand. Father, may they come from your wisdom. And God, we just do pray that you bless our service now. And Father, we ask this in your Son's precious name. Amen. I want us to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Have you guys ever lost your remote control to the television? Old age is a terrible thing, isn't it, dear brother? Before we came back from Scotland, I was watching golf or something on TV like that, and I lost the remote control. I could not find it anywhere. In fact, I had my other son come into the room and help me find it. It was just a small room. But do you think we could find that remote control? I look underneath the cushions. I look underneath the chairs. I pulled everything out, and I could not find it anywhere. We searched the room from the very top to the very bottom. We searched from that side to that side. We looked everywhere for that remote control, and we could not find it anywhere. And I finally went to the refrigerator to get something to drink, and there was the remote control in the refrigerator. Now, I had placed it in there in order to get a drink before we were searching for the remote control. And I, of course, closed the refrigerator and got my drink. But I had put it in the refrigerator. But we searched for that remote control hard. We need to do the same thing when it comes to decision making. We need to search for the answer. We need to look hard for the answer. We need to find God's wisdom for the answer. Not our own wisdom, God's wisdom. Seek God's wisdom. Verse 9 says, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early." So this guy is seeking for the answers when? All the time. He's searching for the answers at night. He's searching for the answers in the morning. He's searching for the answers to life's questions. The question that he had, he's looking for. And he's seeking out the answer from God. He's not checking out the horoscope. He's not checking out his own wisdom. He's seeking out the answer from God. With my spirit, I'm seeking at night. I'm seeking in the morning. He says, "For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." I had a family, a husband and wife, that were struggling in their marriage. And they would not come to me for advice. They just wouldn't. I found out that they were going to this other lady, a marriage counselor, for their guidance. I also found out that this lady had been divorced 6 times. And I thought to myself, why are they seeking wisdom from a lady that has been divorced 6 times herself? Maybe, hopefully, after 6 times she got it right. I'm not sure. But we do these type of things all the time. And it just amazes me where God's people go for advice. We go to television about how to raise our children and all sorts of advice from people that are completely lost, that have, listen, no clue. None. This is where we are going for our advice. We have a God that created us. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about marriage. He knows everything about children. He knows everything about finances. He knows everything about everything. But I'm totally amazed God's people get away from seeking out God's advice. Not only that, but when we are making decisions, not only, first, we have to seek after God, but number two, like everything else, we need to clean out our lives of our sin. In Scotland, I showed you a picture of an area that we lived in, but we were way, way up in the hills, way up. It was a beautiful sheep farm with the stone walls, just like the pictures that you see of Scotland. And God graciously allowed us to stay there when our children were growing up. There was absolutely nothing behind us, around us. You couldn't even see neighbors. It was just a great place to live. Behind us was a national park, 1,700 acres. And so our kids used to roam through the hills and everything. But again, we were way up high. And there's this valley that runs below us. In the mornings, we could wake up, and where we were, it was all clear. The sun was shining, and it was great. But you could look down and see fog, a blanket of fog from the river and so forth that was down there in that valley. We could see fine up where we were. But once we traveled down the road and got into the fog, you know what? As you know, you can't see very well. It's hard to see anything in the fog, isn't it? And that is what it's like for us as a child of God, when we have known sin in our life that we don't confess. It's like walking around in a fog when it comes to decision making. We cannot see clearly. Do you understand that? We cannot see what is in front of us. We cannot see the obstacles. We cannot see a whole lot that is in front of us. And yet God's people knowingly live in sin, knowingly allow that sin to reign in their life, and we're expecting a holy and righteous God to give us an answer to our question. Think about that for a moment. We live in fog. We can't see anything in front of us. We can't see a clear path. And we constantly make horrible decisions. Decisions that affect us many times for a lifetime. Because we refuse to get things right with God. Clear our hearts. Clear our minds. The next thing I have for you is to be patient in your decision making.
God, please help me with what I'm going through right now. And we get done and pray and we look around and say, well, God, oh, he didn't answer my prayer right now. We're like that, aren't we? We get down on our hands and knees, we pray to God, and you know what? Sometimes God doesn't want us to know the answer right now. Sometimes God waits. Sometimes God has to clear things out of our life before he can give us, perhaps, the answer to our prayer. But many times we're so impatient with our God, and we expect it. Well, why aren't you answering my prayer right now, God? God, why aren't you answering my prayer? And we become so impatient with our God, we do something ignorant like Abraham did and Sarah. We get the handmaid and we go outside of God's plan, don't we? Therefore, making another terrible mistake. We want him to answer right now. But God wants us to submit to his timing. Turn to Psalms chapter 25, verse 3. Patience is a terrible thing sometimes, isn't it? Any of you have a problem with patience? Yes, I'm like that, yes. Well, here can be your life verse, okay? Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. But I want to concentrate on that first part. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. When we wait on God, you know what happens? Again, many times God has to work in our heart. He has to work in our life. He has to do all these things. When we wait on him and do things in his timing, boy, how much easier things work out, don't they? Even if we have to wait 2-3 years, even longer. When we do things in God's timing, things just are a whole lot simpler. I always get ahead of God, it seems like, in my life. For me, this time, I said, oh, God, why don't you have that $1,000 for me so I can get back to Scotland? You could ask my wife. We have learned so much in these 5 months that we've been home so far. God had things for us to learn, you see? And we, oh, God, why don't you do this? You know those people over there need to learn. Sometimes God needs to work on us. You understand? Sometimes God says, hey, you need a time out here, son. You need to sit back and learn some things here. I have some things for you to learn. I need to get rid of some things out of your life that can't be there for the next thing I have for you in your life. And when we wait on God, there's no timing like God's timing, is there? It's done when he wants it done. Now, sometimes we don't understand why he waits, but you know what? Eventually you figure it out, don't you? God has a perfect timing. Next of all, do not be pressured in making a decision by others. You ever been to a used car lot? Yes. Now listen to this. When we were beginning deputation, you need a good car for that. Now, we had 3 little children at that time. And we said, God, we really need a good car. God, we have these little children. They're going to be stuck in a car for hours at a time. We need a big car. God, we need all these things. God, answer our prayer. On a Friday night, we went to a local dealership down in Worcester, where we lived at the time. And they were having this big end of the year sale, I don't know what it was, mid-year sale, I can't remember. And the used car salesman came out. And he goes, you looking for something? And we explained to him what we're going to be doing and everything. He goes, oh, I just got the car for you. They took us over to this car. It was a nice car and everything. It wasn't exactly what I was thinking. And you know, and they pressure you right away. I have somebody else interested in this car, you know, and I can give you this car for $1,000. I can do all these things for you. And they just want an answer right away. Now, I've learned in my lifetime, you know, if he would have gave me the car free that night, I still wouldn't have taken it, okay? I've learned that from God. Just be patient and wait on me. And he was really, really pressuring us. And I go, no, I don't normally make decisions like that. I'm not going to do it now. And he goes, I'll take $2,000 off of it for you. And I said, no. And he goes, really? I said, no. The next day, Denise and I were talking, and I was a youth pastor down in Carrollton, Ohio, and there was a Christian man named there named Archie Huebner. And Huebner Chevrolet, which is down there, Archie was a great Christian. He went to Canton Baptist Temple, and as far as I stories that I heard, he tithed 90% of his income. He was just a remarkable, godly man. And my wife taught his little grandson. And so I knew Archie, and we had people in our church that worked for him. And so I went down there on a Saturday. I said, God, it just seems like he's directing me down this path. And so I went in, and Archie was in, and I said, Archie, I don't know if you remember me. I went to, I was a youth pastor at Carrollton Baptist Temple. I taught in the Christian school. My wife had your grandson. Oh, I know who you are. I explained to him, listen, we are starting deputation. I need a good car with low mileage. I need it big enough for my children because they're going to be stuck in a car and everything else. He goes, my grandson just loved your wife. He goes, you go out there and pick any car you want, and I'll give you a good deal. He took off over $2,000 on a car just for us that we put 180,000 miles on in the next 2 years. It was big enough in the back. It was a Subaru Legacy, wasn't it, honey? Remember that? The back seat folded down. Our kids were just little, and they could sleep in the back after evening church service, and they would sleep till we got home, 12:30, 1 o'clock at night. You see, when you wait on God, I mean, His blessings are just unreal, aren't they? But when we get ahead of Him, what terrible mistakes we make. For some of you young ladies in here, for Scotland, free birth control still has the highest pregnancy rate in all of Europe. Oh, whoever would have thought that one, huh? Young ladies in here, wait on God and God's timing. Young men, wait on God's timing. God's timing. Who God has for you. Wait. They're pressuring you not to wait. Tell Him goodbye. You'll be a whole lot better off. You wait on God. You wait on God. No matter what your decision is, whether you're young or old, you need to learn how to wait on God. Because God's timing is not our timing. God's timing sometimes is ridiculously slow, isn't it? Correct? to us. Listen, to us. But His timing is perfect. It's perfect. In His own timing, in His own working, it is perfect. It is perfect. Next of all, keep on praying. Oh, God's people crack me up sometime. How long have you been praying for that, brother? Oh, I've been praying for it all day. You know what I found all day to mean? Maybe 5 minutes at the most. Yeah, you got that one? Yeah, maybe. I've been praying a long time, brother. No, you haven't. And just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. When we are looking for our first church building, the government owns all the community centers for the most part, and we were in a community center, and they expect you to fail over there, so they don't encourage you very often. But when you succeed, they really don't want you in their community building anymore, and they told us to get out because they didn't want an American to be successful over in Scotland and have a church and so forth. They didn't like that very well, and so they just tell you to get out. And so we prayed and prayed for a building, and we prayed and looked at all sorts of buildings and prayed and prayed and prayed. And you know what? And we prayed some more. And Denise and I, we were passing out tracts in this area around where we started our church. We stopped up to this guy and we told him what we were doing and what we were all about. And he goes, "You looking for a church building?" And I go, "Yes, we actually are." And he said, "My mom used to attend a church just up the road here that has been closed down for a year, and they're looking for somebody to buy it." We went up on a Wednesday to take a look at it. And the building was just beautiful on the inside. Just waiting for us. We went in there, I think it was on a Wednesday. That Sunday we had services in that building. And that's a building you saw on the wall here during the Sunday school hour. Yeah, sometimes you may have to pray more than 5 minutes to get an answer, you see. But you need to keep on praying. You need to keep on praying. I'm going to close with this. The greatest decision that I ever made in my life was to follow God. Saved, born again at a young age. But when I was in high school, I had an idea of doing things my own way. And it did not include God in my decision making. My desire was to play baseball at a local college. The coach there was, he really trained me and helped me in baseball. Our high school team went to the regionals that my senior year in high school. I just wanted to play baseball. But in my decision making, I completely left God out of the equation. In fact, I went to a Christian university for a college for a weekend, and I knew God wanted me there, and I said, "I don't think so. I don't think so." It was winter time, and my buddies always used to come over, and we played hockey in the winter time when the ice was thick enough. We had set up huge floodlights at night so my friends could come over and we'd play hockey. And one day at school, it snowed real heavy, but my friends were coming over that night. So when I got off the bus, I went up to the house, I changed, and I went down to the pond. I start shoveling off the snow. And the first pass I made, the ice cracked. And down I went in the deepest possible point of my parents' pond. And I had heavy winter clothes on, a heavy coat, heavy boots, and I sunk right to the bottom. And I took off my coat as quick as I could, and I tried to find the place that I fell through. But it was dark underneath there because there was about 7 to 8 inches of snow over the ice. And I remember banging on that ice, trying to find that place that I fell through. And it seemed like with the last possible breath that I had, I found that hole. And I came up and I said, God's definitely trying to get a hold of my attention here. 2 weeks later, I forgot all about that. I was going to play baseball at College of Worcester. That's what I wanted to do. About 2 weeks before college began, my family always took a golfing vacation. My father ran the golf course at the College of Worcester. He took care of all the grounds at the College of Worcester, the campus. Beautiful campus. Ever get a chance to go down there? Just beautiful old trees, beautiful campus. We went on a golfing vacation down in Oglesby Park, West Virginia. And we were golfing, and we could see, it's way up high, and you could look out, and you saw a storm coming, and we said, well, we'll just play this one last hole, and we'll just walk up to the clubhouse before we get wet. It was a par three, and I had hit the 5 or 6 iron, and I hit it, and we were walking down the fairway. And all of a sudden, lightning came down and just drilled me. Golf club, I was swinging the golf club, and I swung it up, the lightning came down and just drilled me. It picked me up and threw me here to the back of your auditorium easily. Just picked me up and threw me. When I woke up, I said, God, I think I'll attend your Christian university. You see, I'm not as dumb as I look. Okay? Wrong choices are not a good thing. And you need to follow after him with your whole heart. You need to ask for his wisdom concerning everything that comes into your life. You need to get his wisdom, not Dr. Phil's. You need to get his wisdom, not Oprah's. You need to get his wisdom, not some lady who has been married 6 times. His wisdom. You understand? His wisdom. His wisdom. His wisdom concerning salvation for your soul. You're lost here without Jesus Christ. There is no greater life than is found in Jesus Christ. None. You need to embrace it. You need to give him your everything. Everything. And live the greatest life there is to live. Make that the first of many great decisions. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for everything you've done for us. Father, I just do pray that you help us in this Christian walk. Father, I just do pray, God, you help us to seek after you in our decision making. Father, help us to do the things, God, you would have us to do. Help us to be patient. Help us to seek after you with our whole heart. Father, help us to seek out godly advice for pastors and, Father, other godly men. Father, help us to follow you our entire life. God, I just do pray, again, if there's any here lost without Jesus, Father, we do pray today will be the day of salvation before it's eternally too late. We ask this in your Son's precious name. Amen.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, please, as the piano and the organ begins to play through a verse of invitation, I would like to ask a question.